Blog Talk Radio.
City. He is on the other side in Las Vegas, awaiting World Series Game 1, the series of a lifetime. He is John Gianorio, JPG. How are you today?
I'm good. What's going on, Mr. Felix?
We are live again and in color for another interesting edition of Hard Hits on a Monday night. So we hope everybody is doing well. I enjoyed their weekends. Minus the awful game that was the Arizona Cardinals and Seattle Seahawks. Did you catch the highlights of that one? Or did you hear about it, at least, from somebody?
I didn't. What happened?
I think I told you about it yesterday, didn't I? I think we were talking on the phone about it.
I don't know. I felt like you were trying to draw me into discussing something I didn't want to discuss. So I was a little apprehensive, I guess you could say.
I listened to the end of this game, a game that went to overtime, tied at 3, where neither team could do anything, offensively at least. They couldn't score points. the Cardinals or the Seahawks, and seemed like the Cardinals were going to win. They had a drive. They had a drive where they were set up. They were set up for an easy field goal that was less than an extra point, and their kicker missed a 24-yard kick. He clanged it off the left and wide. And the reaction of Bruce Arians was what you would expect it to be, you know? He had his arms raised in celebration, JPG. And then his arms went down, and he threw something down on the ground. That was pretty funny.
Oh, geez.
It was pretty funny. And Pete Carroll, of course, was Pete Carroll. You know how Pete Carroll is, that overrated coach, where he celebrates and is all excited, all enthusiastic. And then what happens? His team drives down to get in position. There's 7 seconds left to go, or whatever it is, 11 seconds. And they have a similar field goal. For a kicker hasn't missed one, I don't think, who had made a bunch of kicks in a row from under 40. He misses from 27 yards. Wide left, it was worse than the other kick. And so there were 7 seconds left, and Carson Palmer tossed one up, and that was it. The two teams finished in a 6-6 tie. They both did kick field goals in the overtime. So a game that deserved to be a tie was a tie. So that was the great Sunday night football game, JPG, that you did not tune into. And I didn't really watch either. I just listened to it. And listening to the broadcasters was hilarious. Just listening to them make the call was pretty funny. But we have other things to do and discuss, as you know. No, I'm not going to discuss the Giants and their stupid London win where they put me to sleep. I didn't even last a quarter. They were down 10-0. I decided to just go back to sleep. It was so bad. And, yeah, they won the game because of 4 interceptions of an awful quarterback, Casey Keenum. And yet, the great Jeff Fisher, JPG, will not play his rookie quarterback that they selected number one ahead of Carson Wentz. So I think that tells you all you need to know about Jeff Fisher and about the St. Louis – well, not the St. Louis Rams, Los Angeles Rams. It tells you everything you need to know. So they will not play the quarterback they drafted ahead of Carson Wentz. Very interesting indeed. The Giants eked out a win despite the fact that they had no offense at all. And their defense actually won a game for them for a change. And Landon Collins was the star of the game with 2 interceptions and a run back for one. And Rodgers Cromartie also had 2 INTs. And the Giants actually had a few sacks. The Giants don't sack quarterbacks. So there was that. The Jets actually won a football game. Ryan Fitzpatrick, though, was not happy after the game. He called out the Jets for saying they don't believe in him anymore. And then it was discovered the next day that Geno Smith, the reason he left the game, and Joe Namath, the great Joe Namath, questioned why Geno Smith did not play. He got hurt. Well, his injury only was a torn ACL. So that's the end of his Jets career. Maybe Joe Namath should stick to trying to pick up Susie Colbert. Yes, I went there. There is something bigger, though, that's going to happen. There's a World Series. It's once-in-a-lifetime series that's going to happen between your Cubs of Chicago, the hometown, G, against the Cleveland Indians. And game one will start, on this side it's later today. On your side it's tomorrow. So either way, right, it's going to be October 25th for our losses. And it should be great. It should be a dynamite game, and it should be a great series. You got your rotation set up, JPG. What do you think?
It should be a great series, my friend. Are you juiced?
Yeah, well, I am juiced. I'm very excited to see how this is going to go, actually. The Cubs have set up their rotation. It will be John Lester in game one, opposing Corey Kluber. Game two, it will be Jake Arrieta, my favorite Cub, well, actually my second favorite Cub, bodied by Jake, who will go in game two, the Indians. So, you know, and then you will have my guy, Cy Kai, Kyle Hendricks in Game 3. Game 4 will be a veteran, John Lackey. So, you know, it should be dynamite, I think. So I'm very excited for it. I know you're very excited for it also and cannot wait for this series. It will be Arrieta against Bauer in Game 2. We're just going to set the matchups. So this way you could find out about the matchups. And then it shifts to Wrigley, JPG. And what you want to do is gain a split. If you can get a split, and you got Kyle Hendricks going up against Josh Tomlin, I think you'd feel pretty good about that because the next three are going to be at Wrigley. So that's what you want to do. If you can do it, who knows? Direction very quickly, and John Lackey in Game 4, and he will oppose – who will he oppose? I believe – isn't their ace going to come back in this series? I think so, actually. I think so. I believe, you know, we could be seeing the ace of the Cleveland staff come back. So, although I don't know the latest on that, let me see if I can find something on the latest really quick here. And as we do that, you know, as we do that, just get some Indians news, ace. Well, Corey Kluber is the ace right now of the staff. But what we want to know if the strikeout artist is coming back. That's what we're trying to find out. Corey Kluber is a pretty good strikeout artist. Danny Salazar. Is Danny Salazar going to pitch in this series? That's my question. And if he can pitch in this series, will he be out there for Game 4? That's a good question to ask. So let me see if there's any, because they didn't list the Game 4. We know it will be Lackey for the Cubs. So here it is. Here it is. So Salazar will be on the roster, John. Okay? There's nothing in terms of whether or not – it doesn't tell you whether or not he's going to be able to pitch. Both Salazar and Ryan Merritt, who was an unsung hero of the last series, my guess is Ryan Merritt will get the Game 4 start. And who knows? Maybe Salazar will be used out of the pen. I don't know. What we do know, JPG, is that the Cubs are getting a big bat back for Game 1. A guy by the name of Kyle Schwarber will be in the lineup tomorrow as DH. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, player you strongly dislike.
Not much that I dislike. This is a guy who has a ruthless swing, a guy who can crush baseballs. So there's nothing to dislike about that. What I'm wondering is, what is the future? What is the future of Kyle Schwarber as far as where he'll play for the Cubs? That's the only question I have, because he'll be coming back from a tough injury.
Why are you so concerned about this?
It's just a question that I pose. We don't have to get into it now. It's a question that I wonder about as far as what happens with him down the line. But, yes, right now, this is a Terry Francona quote. I think he's ready to pitch, says Terry Francona. And that was on October 21. So, I mean, who knows? I mean, maybe he'll get the ball in Game 4. Maybe it'll be Merritt. They'll surprise us, probably, you know? It'll be a surprise. 424-675-8226 is the phone number. It depends what the surprise is, you know? I mean, there are some surprises aren't so great, you know? While others are...
Many surprises aren't that great, that's true.
...are more promising. Why don't we just go position to position here, you know? Well, I think, you know, when it comes down, break down each position. All right, so you have two first basemen that can absolutely creamed the ball. You've got Carlos Santana, and you've got your guy, Anthony Rizzo. So who are you giving the edge to there? Give the edge to Rizzo, or is it even? They both can hit the ball out. Which way are you going on that way?
Rizzo's a much better player.
Well, actually, the Indians do DH, DH Carlos Santana. Let me correct myself. Mike Napoli is really the first baseman. So
who's also Napoli, better.
Yeah, I mean, I would say Rizzo's better hitter. Has a little more patience at the plate. It took him a while, though, to get going, but he did. And so, yes, I think we would agree on that one. So we'll give an edge to the Cubs there. Although, remember, isn't Napoli a guy that's won, like, two or three World Series already? So he does have that going for him, at least.
No,
so
he's
there
not.
Is that
he won a single World Series.
Well, I know you don't want to credit him too much. But Mike Napoli does have a World Series ring with the Red Sox. So, yeah, 2013.
Right. He didn't win multiple World Series is what I was saying.
Yeah. Okay. All right. No problem. You are correct on that. So we will make a note of that. Has not hit that much, but he did hit in the last couple of games for the Indians. And so second base, you've got the amazing – because he is amazing to watch defensively. The amazing Javier Baez, who's been the Cubs' most consistent hitter or player so far. It just means what it means, that he's been very consistent so far in the postseason. That's all. So you have him.
You're very defensive about this.
Against a former All-Star, a guy that's certainly very capable, who also can field his position pretty well, a guy who could hit the ball out of the ballpark, Jason Kipnis. So what do you think about that matchup? That's a good matchup right there. Huh? Where are you tilting on that one?
I don't know. I lost track of Jason Kipnis. I need to take a look.
Jason Kipnis is a pretty good player, you know. I mean, he's certainly proven enough. And you've got Javier Baez, who's been playing. He's just young, and he's just out there having fun.
Yeah, it looks like he's actually quite a bit better than Baez is.
Well, Kipnis did not hit much in the last series, but his defense did not suffer. I think, you know what? Look, you want to give the experience to Kipnis? Go ahead. You want to give the youth or whatever and just the athletic ability of Baez? It's exciting to watch. You give the, you know what? That's, I'm going to call that edge even. Okay, I'm going to go even. You are going with Kipnis on this.
I don't think it's particularly close. Looking at the
okay, well
reference.
Of course you don't. Okay. How about catcher? Oh, catcher. The difference though with the Cubs is the Cubs do it by committee. You know, it could be Wilson Contreras. It could be Montero is really the third guy. He's used more as a pinch hitter. And David Ross is a personal catcher, and he's a fan favorite, a guy that certainly in his final season is trying to get one more ring. So they're going up basically against Robert Perez, who has been doing a really good job for the Indians, actually, so far in this postseason. So I'm giving the edge to the Cubs, although I think Robert Perez is pretty underrated, though. I will say that. So I'm going Cubs on that one. What say you?
Catcher? It depends which catcher you're talking about. Contreras, then the edge is to the Cubs. If it's Ross against a lefty, it's an edge to the Cubs. Anything else, and I don't even know. It's not
good.
You
don't know. The one thing I will say, defense goes to the Indians when it comes to the catcher spot. Contreras is not that good when it comes to handling certain pitches, and he can make some interesting decisions. But you know what? In terms of his bat, he's got that capability right there. His bat is excellent to watch. So I'm giving the edge to the Cubs, because I think the Cubs got a little more of that depth, and I like that. Now, shortstop. Hey, shortstop's a terrific, terrific matchup, okay? This is the best matchup of this series right here. Two guys that were picked. Francisco Lindor, world-class player for the Indians, rookie of the year last year, can be a gold glove shortstop, tremendous defensively, great range, over 300, has been a good performer for the Indians so far, can steal bases, does a lot. He can do it all, really, you know? And his buddy, because they both are from Puerto Rico, I'm thinking of Baez, actually. That's right. They were in the same draft. Actually, it is the best matchup still because it's Addison Russell for the Cubs. Russell, who struggled early, but in those last couple of games, he got the stroke going, plays just as good defensively in the middle, can make almost every play, has the pop in his bat. Might not be as in terms of the hitting because he's a little more streaky, but he's got more pop in his bat than Lindor. So what do you think of that matchup?
Pretty even. Lindor might be a tiny bit better, but it's close.
It's very even. We're going to say it's very even. Might give a slight edge to Lindor for the experience, for what he can do. But you know what? I like Addy. I'm a big fan of Addy, actually. So Addison Russell, the former Athletic that you guys got. Third base. Well, the edge is going to go to the Cubs here because you've got the MVP. Chris Bryant, a guy who was an all-world player and a guy that pitchers don't want to face. You don't want to face Chris Bryant, especially if runners on base. He's pretty lethal. And he bats, he bats second in your order behind Fowler. Now, the Indians don't have a slouch either. They have Jose Ramirez. Jose Ramirez had an excellent season for the Indians. He can hit. He can feel. He feels pretty good, too. This is a guy who used to play outfield. He plays third base. He can steal bases. He's a very versatile player, actually. And he's young also. He's 23. So, you know, he's young. So he's getting better. But, you know, Chris Bryant blows him away. Christopher Bryant for me. And I think Chris Bryant for you, Mr. Cobb. So, and just a note here for you, you know, he was 5-for-10 in his first series against the Red Sox. So he did well there and played good defense. Only got one hit against the Blue Jays in 17 plate appearances. So that's Jose Ramirez, by the way, talking about. Okay. We've done the infield. How about the outfield? For the Cubs, Let's do center field first, okay? Dexter Fowler. When Dexter Fowler gets on base, the Cubs are a better team. They're much better. I like Dexter Fowler. He sets it up very well. He plays his position excellently. Has a little bit of pop in his bat. Also a threat to run. And the Indians have I think they're playing Davis. Yeah, Davis is playing center field, and Nakin's playing, I think Nakin plays the other side, plays left field. Davis is an excellent, you know, threat in terms of running the base. Actually, Nakin actually is listed as a center fielder. I think I would take Dexter Fowler over either of them, to be honest. I like Dex better, JPG. What do you think?
Yeah, probably take Fowler.
Although Nakin, one thing to note on him, he'll finish probably third or fourth in the AL Rookie of the Year. He had a pretty good year. So yeah, he can swing the bat. He's got a good bat actually. And he should be a guy that will be heard from. He has not hit much so far in the postseason. Only 2 RBIs and 3 hits so far. So hasn't hit that much. Rajay Davis, of course. You have also who can steal bases and can be an interesting part of that offense. The veteran can. He led the AL actually in in the stolen bases, actually, department. But, I mean, what they're doing right now, I mean, he's rotating. He's not playing every game. They got Coco Crisp also, okay? So it's kind of like the Cubs, really, you know, because sometimes you don't know what Maddon's going to do with his lineup. You know, Hayward has not hit a lot in right, but Hayward can field his position. Sometimes he'll have Jorge Soler out there. You got Chisholm also for the Indians. And you got the two-headed monster of Crisp and Rajai, so that they can platoon. How would you call this edge? I would give the Cubs a little bit of the edge in terms of the power. I'd say they got a little bit of edge on the power. But what do you think? What do you think of these two outfields?
They're pretty even, I would say. I don't think either one is anything that spectacular. Mm-hmm.
You know, defense, you've talked a lot about defense and how well the Cubs play the field. I've watched the Indians quite a bit.
The outfield at this point is clearly built for defense.
Yeah.
I mean,
I've watched the Indians quite a bit. They're pretty solid also in terms of their defense, but the Cubs are going to get the edge. All right. And then you have your DHs. You have the young phenom coming back. How's he going to do? I mean, it's kind of the unknown. You know, it's almost, you know, he could be the X factor in the series, JPG. They've gotten here without him by them on Joe Maddon. Where you got Schwarber DHing in those games in Cleveland, and you got Carlos Santana, who he could swing the bat, and he can connect, he can walk, he could strike out. Are you going with the experience of Carlos Santana? Are you going with Schwarber, or are you... Who are you leaning towards on this, or is it Ethan?
What's that?
Are you going with the experience of Carl Santana, the youth of Schwarber unknown, or is it Ethan?
Since Schwarber is only going to be facing right-handed pitching, I would give a pretty large advantage to him.
Okay. All right. Actually, you know, that's actually very fair.
Santana's a good to very good hitter, but
Schwarber
is one of the best hitters in the league against right-handed pitching.
And you hope everything goes right for him, you know, in this series. That's the everything, of course, I would say. You know, that we're rooting for him, okay? You know, we don't want to see anything else happen to him. After what we saw. One other thing I really like about the Cubs, Maddon could go to Soler, as I mentioned, although he hasn't really shown the ability to hit yet in this playoffs. But Almora is a tremendous defensive player, JPG, a guy that can really play the field, whether you put him in right or center, and they could play him in right. He could also bunt. Not many guys can bunt anymore. You know, it's kind of like a lost art a little bit. Bullpens. I think I have to go. I'm going to probably give an edge to the Indians just because of what they have there. And you got Andrew Miller and you got Allen and you also have Brian Shaw. That's a pretty big three-man punch right there. I don't know what the plan is with Salazar. You know, the Cubs bullpen is very good too. You know, with Carl Edwards. I like Carl Edwards. I want to see Carl Edwards before I see Justin Grimm or Travis Wood. I don't know what the fascination is with those two guys. I want Carl Edwards Jr. before those two guys, along with Strop, Rondon, and your closer, Aroldis Chapman. Those are, and Montgomery too. You know what? If you want to give an edge to the Cubs, you could say the Cubs have better depth, couldn't you? They got better bullpen depth.
The Cubs are better everywhere, man. The Indians would scare me if they had all their pitching, but
if they had all
their
pitching, it'd be very tough. All right, so what is your prediction going to be, sir? Are you making a prediction for the series, or are you just going
to? I think the Cubs are going to win in 5 or 6.
All right. Should I say Cubs in 6 for you? Going Cubs in 6.
Sure, we can go with Cubs in 6.
All right, and as the broadcast dies out. Derek Felix prediction. Something just tells me this is going to go seven games, so I'm going to go seven games. And I'm going to go with the Cubs to somehow win in Cleveland in a seventh game. And LeBron James could whine about it, which both of us will love very much. Maybe he could complain about the umpiring or something. No, you know what? I really do think Cubs probably
will.
Is he
pretending to be a baseball fan now?
He is, but I'm going to go Cubs. I'm going to say seven in a just dramatic series. So that is the Derek Felix prediction. Honestly, I would rather you win in five or six, like you predicted, than have to go to a seventh game.
I'd be shocked if it goes seven. I mean, you never know with these things, but the Indians are way overmatched.
Now, overtime, one player that I did forget to mention, and he does be holding out for you, Ben Zobrist. Ben Zobrist is a better hitter than what the Indians have in left field. So, I will go edge.
I don't know. He had a hot start to the season.
He had a hot start. I know his bat has cooled considerably, but I like Ben Zobrist's experience. And I mean, this is a guy who, you know, who obviously was part of a key part of the Kansas City Royals win last year. I like Ben Zobrist, and I think Ben Zobrist could be a key in the series for you. Actually, I'm actually going to say he could be a factor for you. I think that experience could help the Cubs in this series. So, yes, he didn't have a good second half. It's true. That is very true, and he has not really hit at all so far. But in a World Series, where he won last year, I wouldn't be surprised if Ben Zobrist has a couple of key hits for you. That's where I'm going, okay? So I'm thinking he might come through for you, okay?
It'd be nice.
The pick is the Cubs. It is the Cubs. Unless the Indians starters can hand the ball off to their bullpen and keep the games low scoring. But your lineup is very tough. Cubs lineup is very tough to handle. So I don't know. I don't know how that's going to work for the Indians. The health is going to happen with Danny Salazar, and if their pitching was totally healthy. You know what's amazing about the Indians? That they're here. They've been able to do this. And don't forget, their best position player has been out the whole year, Michael Brantley. So it speaks to how good Francona is as a manager. Francona's won a couple of World Series, obviously. And saw her manage his butt off against the Yankees and lead the Red Sox to a couple of championships, and the Red Sox got rid of him. Nice reward by the Red Sox, getting rid of him. And he comes back to the Indians, and what I like about him, he manages with his instinct. You know, Madden is different. Madden is more, mentality. He is, but Madden's a good manager too. You know, he makes interesting decisions. What do you think these managers are pretty even, or are you going to give Francona a little edge because of his experience and because he's very uncanny? Probably does things.
I think it's pretty even.
It's pretty even. Yeah. Although I like how Francona manages, I'll be honest, being very honest about that. I think Bill Madden's very enjoyable to listen to. Yeah, he's very goofy. I like a lot of the stuff that he says. He's very fun to follow. So, it should be a really good series, I think. Hopefully, it will live up to the billing, you know. And what's great about this series, aside from the fact that it won't be on FS1 anymore, thankfully, it will be on Fox. You'll actually tune in without a problem. You'll get to see Alex Rodriguez doing more analyzing, and I love Alex Rodriguez, and him and Frank Thomas are very enjoyable. And of course, you got the goofy Pete Rose, who is interesting to listen to also. And he's more of a fun listen, you know, because you don't know what he's going to say, but it's fun. They have a lot of fun, those guys. I think it will be a fun. It'll be fun to watch. The only thing, of course, we don't like. What don't you like most about Fox's coverage, JPG?
Cutting away from the game to do interviews in the freaking
to do
dugout?
Live interviews. Yes.
And missing home runs and plays in the game.
Yep. Yes. Missing Travis Woods' home run is not a good thing to do. Now, all that said.
Hey, Clayton Kershaw, how do you feel about baseball? Hard-hitting question.
A very hard-hitting question. Clayton Kershaw, you're pitching in this game and you're struggling. What's wrong today? Does he bleep, 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 bleeps out Kenny Rosenthal? Poor Kenny Rosenthal with his bow tie. Oh, man. All right. So we pretty much have previewed this World Series. It should be something. Now the Indians are not going to roll out Rick Wilding Vaughn for one of the game balls. But Danny Salazar did a simulated pitching game to Wilding, the old Wilding. So on my brother's birthday, actually, which is pretty cool. Too bad Charlie Sheen wasn't there for it, you know? Now, what I have heard about the Indians, JPG, is Kenny Lofton and Carlos Berger are going to throw out some first pitches. So there you go right there. As far as who will be throwing out some first pitches. So they're bringing back Kenny Lofton, and they're bringing back Carlos Berger, one of their best guys. Now, here's something interesting. Jason Kipnis, right? You know Jason Kipnis? You know what Jason Kipnis grew up watching, right? You know he's a fan of. Do you know?
I don't know, actually.
He's a Cubs fan. He was a Cubs fan.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Jason Kipnis says he believes that Steve Bartman should get to throw the first pitch when it shifts to Wrigley. Of course, we know that's not going to happen. I think it's nice. It's a nice sentimentality, obviously. I think it's very sentimental to have that. He loved Sammy Sosa. He loved Mark Grace. He loved Kerry Wood. His uncle delivered one Hall of Famer, Ryan Sandberg's children. But he really thinks that Bartman should, you know, throw out the first pitch. That's a nice sentiment. Yeah, that's a very nice sentiment, actually, I will say, from Jason Kipnis. But you know what he said? He also, of course, said he better believe he didn't say it in this fashion, but that he wants the curse or whatever you want to call it of Cubs to not win to continue because he's obviously playing for the Indians, okay? Even though he's facing his hometown team, he wants obviously to win, which of course, you know what I mean, JPG, is understandable.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, I mean, but I think it's nice that he says he didn't deserve that, the treatment that he got, the blame he got. And we it's been covered before. I've watched the documentary a bunch of times, and, you know, it's going to be something. You know what I'd really like to see the Indians invite back to throw out a first pitch? And I know they won't do it probably because, God forbid, you honor a guy who deserved to win an MVP and deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. But Albert Bell deserves to be part of this return at these games.
He does not deserve to be part of the Hall of Fame, though. That's not true.
Oh, I believe he does.
I know.
Albert Bell deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, give me a break, man. He's not even as good as Jim Rice.
Albert Bell is tremendous and deserves to be in. That's just how I see it, man. His career was cut short. Don't forget about that.
You don't get to go into the Hall of Fame just because your career was cut short.
Albert Bell's production for his career was great. I mean, this is just how I feel about it. It could be disputed, okay? We could go into more detail tomorrow's show. in the post show tomorrow. There are about three, four minutes left in the show. The NBA is tipping off tomorrow. Obviously, the Knicks and the Cavs are tipping off. There aren't a lot of games on the plate, at least. But, you know, you've got a couple of games there. Jay Beck has guaranteed victory for the Knicks. I don't think they have a chance. Okay, and the Knicks' defense was not good during preseason. The games tomorrow are the Knicks, the new Knicks, with Porzingis, Carmelo, Joakim Noah, Brandon Jennings off the bench, against the Cavs, who, of course, got LeBron, Irving, Kevin Love, J.R. Smith. They got everybody pretty much back, you know. And then you've got two other games, right? You've got the Jazz, a young and upcoming team that I expect to be a lot better, against the Blazers. These are two teams that should be a lot of fun to watch. Damian Lillard, I got on my fantasy team, drafted him ninth overall. And Utah Jazz, a team that should be on the rise. And the money matchup is the Spurs at the Warriors. So there you go. Those are your three games. What say you, JPG? What do you expect this year in the NBA?
I don't know. This NBA season is looking pretty dull, so I'm not sure how much I'll even pay attention to it.
Why would it be dull? Aren't you excited about Mike D'Antoni getting another chance again to coach with James Harden?
Unlike you, I don't really care about Mike D'Antoni.
Mike D'Antoni is a great coach. He gets an eighth opportunity to coach. A very coachable player.
Yeah, true. He only coached one of the most influential teams of all time and is basically responsible for how most offenses in the league today are run. But, yeah, that guy, not him.
You know who Mike D'Antoni reminds me of? Would you like to know who he reminds me of? And
tell me.
He coached in New York, so I know. And he handled the press the same way. He is the NBA version of Alain Vigneault.
I don't know anything about that guy other than you hate him, but
AV. I think that Tony and AV have a lot of common, actually. They're charmers. They have a good sense of humor. They've had success embracing offensive schemes. And they also have cast out players. As D'Antoni lied to Stephon Marbury, which created a problem, after promising he was going to play him, lied to him, of course, chose Chris Duhon, the immortal Chris Duhon, from Duke, over him, and AV, who has cast out Dylan McAuliffe, a former first-round pick. Breakout seasons. Are there any breakouts for this year that could happen? God, how I wish I had more time right now. Trey Lyles. If Trey Lyles gets playing time for the Utah Jazz, he could be a bust out. Bismack Biyombo, if he figures out the offensive side of things, could be a guy to watch out. Tim Frazier is the starting guard for New Orleans right now, with Drew Holiday out, and Justin Felix, JNF, did his scouting and got him. Tim Frazier could be a name to be heard of from. Rookies, well, you've got Chris Dunn and you've got Buddy Hield leading the way. Jamal Murray, another one. And the Big Ozzie, of course, is out until next year. So that is the NBA right now. We'll do some more picks on the NBA tomorrow. That is going to do it for this edition of Hard Hits. Make sure you check out the podcast. JPG, you have any final words of wisdom?
Let's go, Cubs.
Let's go, Cubs, all right? Go, Cubbies, tomorrow. Bring it home, Cubs. Thank you to JPG John Junorio, to myself, and to Kyle Kennedy for not responding to my text, and Rob Davis saying he's still retired. Good night, everybody, and we'll see you all tomorrow.